Sports betting season is in full force. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BetUS.com. They have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. And you will receive a 125% sign-up bonus by using the bonus code 5. That's the word 5, F-I-V-E. They also have re-up and referral bonuses as well. Follow my lead and open an account with BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS. This show is brought to you by PrizePicks. PrizePicks is a revolutionary new daily fantasy game whereby you pick 2, 3, or 4 players to go over or under their fantasy point projections, and if you're correct, you win. Pick 2 or more players from the same sport or league, or go cross leagues for your parlay. Use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, 5, and receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. But first, sign up at prizepicks.com to start winning today. This show is brought to you by Lewis Peters State Farm, agency representing the number one auto and home insurer in the United States for more than 60 years combined experience in the insurance industry. Local agents that understand South Florida's unique market. You have access to them 24/7, walk-in, call-in, click-in through lewispeters.com. You can find them online on social media at SF Agent Peters, or you can call at 305-275-5585. Remember, lewispeters.com.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. And we're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Chris Kaufman is here. Simon Clancy is not, because he's driving from the South Coast, which is something I've never heard said before. But I guess
it wasn't, you know, wasn't he driving from London? Wasn't he in London?
Well, in his text to me, it says, I'm driving from the South Coast. I might be able to make it later on for the show, but we decided to go without him. So
we decided to go without him.
Yeah. Kind of like what Bill Belichick did last night. He decided to go without Mac Jones in the biggest game.
We don't need him. I said, we don't need him. Yeah. I wonder if he's maybe, I mean, because he had said before, Simon had said before that he was going to, I thought he said he was going to London, but, you know, maybe he's going further south, like Brighton or something like that.
He says, I'm driving back from the South Coast tonight. So, yeah, whatever that is. I don't know. I've never been to England. You've been, right?
Yeah, I've been.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Lovely little town. Lovely little town, that England.
Uh-huh.
Not as big as Tampa, right?
No, not as big.
not as big as Tampa.
Yeah, as always, we are brought to you by Manscaped. Use promo code 5RSN, 20% off your entire order. It's almost Christmas, people, okay? So, yeah, usually I make a joke right here, but I don't think I need to. 20% off your order, use 5RSN. Use our promo code, okay? We don't get credit if you don't use our promo code.
That's true.
All right. I guess
actually it's Christmas. It's Christmas season, so I'm gonna start ordering with our promo code.
Cool. Order like you know, $50,000 worth, you know. and we all get a pretty nice bonus. So you get what some
percentage,
of it back.
What percentage of that do you think I would get in a kickback? Like what? Realistically, pretend this is a cashback card.
At least, you want me to tell you for real or not? For real. Let me see. I have it in front of me. Hold on a second. Okay. Hold on. What is 3.5%?
3.5% of the 50,000?
Yes. So.
Oh.
Yeah, almost like 2 grand.
Like
that's not
2 bad. Grand or something. Yeah.
I could use the 2 grand. Okay. Go ahead and spend that 50,000.
But I mean, the 3.5, like I get more cash back on one of my my credit cards. Like I get 5% cash back, but that's only because it's like a special card. It's like,
yeah, not to talk about crypto, but Link is a piece of shit. And I'm thinking about, you know, getting the
Link
fuck out of
just
it.
Okay. We're not going to get into it.
I don't know. Did it do something today? Because I don't have an alert.
It is actually doing something today. But
all I saw it hit $18 the other day, and I'm like, oh boy, I'm almost there.
They literally just hired Google's former CEO.
Oh, so I'm gonna be rich, is what you're trying to tell me here.
And the chairman of the board, like they just hired him. But that's you know, I don't want to shill anything here.
Okay, so I'm gonna be rich. That's fucking awesome to hear, man.
You just might have to wait for like 5 years.
Okay, yeah. I'll wait 5 years to be rich. All right. I'll get my yacht then.
Yeah. I want it now, actually. You know what I need to do? I need to make enough money to like just hire somebody to run my life and tell me where to be. Just tell me. Oh, wait, I had that, but I don't have that anymore. I had a wife and now I don't.
Yeah, I'm usually very, very, very patient with.
So can you hire a wife and like, you know, pay like full time? And that sounds shady. I'm sorry.
Yes, you can do that. That exists. Yes,
that absolutely exists. Yes. Well, I don't want a wife. I want like a Pepper Potts, like, and it could be a Peter Potts. I'm not beholden to the sex on this one. I'm just saying, like, you know, I just want somebody to run my life and tell me where the fuck to be.
Oh, like an assistant, like a
and just like, you know, and just like make sure that things don't stack up around me. Like, that's what I want.
In other words, you want like an OC, an offensive coordinator. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Charlie Fry
an
be
AHC?
Available?
Can I have an AHC?
Charlie Fry
or
might be available
assistant,
in a couple
assistant
months
to the head coach.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
you not can assistant give him that head title. Coach.
You
not
can give
assistant
him that title.
Head coach.
And he has assistant to wear a headset.
Assistant to the he could wear a headset. if I had a dude like that was like running my life for me, he would wear a headset and not earbuds, a real headset and a visor. I don't know, I'm iffy on the visor, like it depends on the situation, but he would wear a headset, like a full headset with like the little thing, the little mic thing that comes down. That's what I want. And a play sheet. I want them to have a play sheet.
Oh yeah. No, the play sheet is a must.
It's a must. Okay. It has to happen.
Like that has
this
to
is,
happen.
These are my life goals.
And then people could speculate whether it's you or your assistant that's making all the calls on crypto
right
or stocks, right?
I get all the credit though. Yes. I get all the credit.
And everybody has to speculate, like, oh, he took over. He took
and
over.
And he has a hard time getting hired somewhere else.
Exactly.
Because I get all the credit.
Yeah. Sounds familiar, too.
God, that sounds sweet.
All right. If any of our listeners have ever wondered, we don't do a rundown. We used to do a rundown for the show. So this is where I ask my co-host what he wants to talk about first. You want to talk about Giants Dolphins first? Or you want to talk about New England Buffalo first?
When was the last time we did a rundown?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Yeah, that sounds right.
It's like two years ago.
I
was like, you know what? We got to get, but to be honest with you, we needed a rundown back then because it used to take me like 30 minutes to edit. Now it takes me like 3 minutes to edit.
Oh, man. Like a bunch of times you don't even like you just send it in.
Yeah. A bunch of times you see that, you know, we go off the air and I post on the 3YPC Twitter account, oh, it's coming in 20 minutes, and I just put it up like in 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's like suspiciously close to the end to when we literally just hung up on each other.
Yes.
And I'm like, you just wasn't even download, that wasn't even upload speed practically, like that was
yeah, that's because we've gotten good at this, Chris.
I would like to think so, but I fear that that's not the case. Like that's just.
Well, you think I'm just being.
That's just our excuse.
So you think I'm being lazy and just throwing it up there right away?
All I know is, like, you know, years ago when we started, like I actually used to like put together material.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which just like that even that statement just sounds weird coming out of my mouth now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like it was like I put together material that we're gonna, and now we're just like shooting from the hip, And luckily, like, we like just know shit and we just like throw it out, but still.
Yeah. So I guess we'll start there. Well, what do you want to talk about? Dolphins, Giants, or?
Well, they did play a game. They did play a game, and we did have a Victory Monday yesterday. So I think I think this is supposed to be our Victory Monday, now Tuesday podcast.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into that. I'm going to say, look, the Dolphins, they obviously have an identity, okay? And their identity is pretty simple, I think, Chris, which is great defense and hand the ball to Tua and have him get us enough points to win.
Well, hand the ball to him or have, I mean, like, I, or have him hand, like, it, our identity is Tua on extended handoffs.
Yes.
Like, Tua on, Tua actually handing off. Because they are committed to the run. Well, in this game they weren't, but you know, generally they have been fairly committed to the run, even when it's not working in the last during the win streak, and not in this game, but or the extended handoffs. And he does a bunch of extended handoffs, and he is getting constant shit for it, like a steady stream of disrespect.
And I will say this. I did not like his ball placement, especially in that first half. But as usual, he was magnificent in that fourth quarter. Like
magnificent.
Okay. That's
just he was good. He was good.
Okay. Some of those throws, and it's true. Ethan was talking about it in the post-game show. Some of those throws are the kinds that show up on ESPN NFL Live when it's Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers making those throws. Oh, right. And that throw to Gesicki is absolutely ridiculous.
Because the offensive line did not hold up on that one at all.
No, and he had the presence of mind saying, my guy is 6'6". I'm putting it over this Giants head.
Yeah, well, he does well with that. He does well with that. And he even, like, you know what's impressive is sometimes, like, he even knows to do that, to go high with, like, with Jalen Waddle. Like when, because Jalen Waddle, this is something that you notice about Jalen Waddle is he's sort of got this jackrabbit instinct. Like he wants to jump up and go high even when he doesn't need to. Mm-hmm. And like the touchdown pass that he had that Tua had to him, I don't think it was against the against the Giants. It was against Carolina, which was a really, I mean, they, I don't know if you've seen that play broken down by like QB school or JT O'Sullivan you know, like Dan Orlovsky or somebody like that. Like if you see that play broken down, just really, really snapshot for yourself when to release the ball, like, or even better, like when he started to draw it back to fire it. You know, and look at the situation, like look at what he was looking at when he threw that. I mean, it was really incredible. I mean, but Jalen Waddle, the point being, my original point, like he didn't need to jump for that, but he did. And that's sort of his way. I mean, even going back to college, he likes to just really go up and, you know, come down with it. And I think that Tua knows him so well that sometimes, you know, you see him do that. You see him feed it to him high on purpose.
Yeah, and, you know, it was a great effort all the way around. I enjoyed the way that they played. I thought Tua could have been a little bit better. I think that they left some points out there.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, everybody could.
You know, but I did like his disposition after the game. I don't know if you saw it, but he looked like, you know, somebody had kicked his dog or his dog was sick in the vet. You know what I mean?
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing that he looks like that because, you know, we were talking about he had just had two games where he's like 80 plus percent in a row completion and nobody had ever done it three games.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you introducing a conspiracy theory here? Are you saying that he was upset that his streak was done and he couldn't
break? No. I'm just saying that, like, you know, it's interesting that, like, he's, you know, beating himself up about it because he did not complete over 80% in this game, but that was because he had like five drops. Something like
58
that.
58 yards of drops. And yeah, and I know Matt Major, but that puts him over 300 yards.
He would have been. I mean, you know, and I hate to like give somebody every drop, but like he would have been over 80% if he had a couple of those drops as catches. I mean, you know, Mike Gesicki in the end zone or elsewhere. I mean, Jalen Waddle had an easy drop. You know, I think that And Albert Wilson, definitely, there was a catchable ball there. You know, yeah, that's why he didn't have that 80% again, you know, and I'm not saying he was mad about it. I'm saying, like, how do you go and, like, you're 80% on the day or 85% accuracy on the day, you know, if you count for drops and stuff, and you're still, like, pissed at yourself because there were a few plays. You know what's so weird about the plays that he misses, like the throws that he misses, is how completely understandable they are. Like, oh, he missed that throw because he was getting murdered as he threw it. Like, you know, by a blitzer who just came right around our offensive lineman who just didn't give a shit. Or because, like, I mean, there's several misses that he had where he, like, scrambles out and he's, like, directly on the run. And you could tell, listen, when you're throwing it at a dead run, it's going to get dicey. Like sometimes it's there. Sometimes it's going to be just a little bit off. And he threw it like sort of at a dead run, didn't take that little extra, you know, half a second to set himself a little bit better. And yeah, he wasn't accurate on it. And there was another one where he was not accurate on a throw because he did a full cock and reload. Like, and this is, I mean, I don't know how many college quarterbacks you look at, but like all of these guys, if they do a full cock and reload, that ball is not going to come out accurately after on that second one. Like, and I'm talking about immediate full reload and throw. Like that ball is just not going to. I mean, there's a short pump. Like that's you don't want to see the hand motion that I just made. There's a short pump, but and then throw it, and that's one thing. But I mean, like a full, you know, double loop. These guys almost never throw it accurately in my experience after that. And he missed one, you know, that way. So it's like, it's basically like he doesn't miss unless it's completely understandable, which is mind-boggling because that is not normal, not in any way whatsoever. Like that's that for a quarter. These guys don't do that versus air in practice. You know, it's really quite mind boggling the accuracy. And people are like, oh, what's a superpower? Well, that's pretty freaking obvious, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, that's the one thing, even when it was clear the Dolphins didn't love him. And it is, and it has been clear at different times in his 2-year career. That they haven't fallen in love yet. Like they're still waiting to see what they should be falling in love with. All that time, the one thing that they always acknowledged was, I mean, yeah, he's ridiculously accurate. You know, that's like the one thing, but they're waiting for the other stuff. They're waiting for the other stuff to come up. And now I think, you know, hopefully they're starting to recognize that it is, mm-hmm. but you know, who knows? Now we're gonna end up with Deshaun Watson anyway.
I don't know. I have my serious doubts about that. Okay.
Yeah.
Because the more I watch the rest of the league, there's gonna be a line a mile long to try to get Deshaun Watson, and I think the Dolphins are gonna say, you know what? Do we really want to like get into a bidding war for this, or do we want to go with this quarterback who is now a budding star after finishing what top three in QBR and possibly even making the Pro Bowl? All right.
Let me play devil's advocate on that. I want to play devil's advocate on that though, because I'm trying to search back in the memory banks, right? For when the New England Patriots, and this is where Nick Caserio came from, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they were trading Matt Cassel. I remember they traded him to the Chiefs. I can't remember exactly what the price was. I want to say it was 2 second round picks. I remember that Josh McDaniels had taken over the Denver Broncos and he had taken over. He had Jay Cutler there. There's big controversy because Matt Cassel became available. Nick Caserio had agreed on a price with the Kansas City Chiefs. And then all of a sudden Josh McDaniels takes over Denver and he's like, no, wait, I want Matt Cassel. And he's like, it was a unique situation. He'd already worked with, you know, yada, yada. Cause he had to defend himself afterwards because Jay Cutler was super pissed. So, like, but he got involved. He outbid the Chiefs, and everybody around the situation acknowledged that he outbid the Chiefs, and I think significantly so. But Nick Caserio was like, he went ahead and executed with the Chiefs anyway, and he was like, well, I had already agreed on the price tag with the Chiefs. And that's what they did. They sent them to the Chiefs, and it wasn't any slight at Josh McDaniels or anything like that. It was just like I had already, so think about that. And then think back to the Houston Texans situation with the Miami Dolphins prior to the trade deadline, when you had all these reports coming out, mostly from the Houston end of things, but like all these reports coming out that Miami has agreed on a price tag. With Miami and Houston have agreed on a price tag. If Deshaun Watson's legal situation were to be cleared up, right? So, and then after the trade deadline passed, I think even Nick Caserio said something like straight up, like, well, I'm still focused on the Dolphins here, you know? And so think about that. And then think about, you know, okay, yeah, we get into the off season, Deshaun Watson clears up his, you know, he settles with all of the civil complainants and then he, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with the criminal stuff. So let's say he does get that clear and there's a little bit more clarity about what he's facing from the league. You're right. A lot more teams are going to, you know, the Carolina Panthers, stuff like that. They're all going to come out. They're going to be, oh, I want in on this. But will Nick Caserio say, I'm sorry, but we already agreed with the Dolphins on a price tag? He did it before. You know, and I realize that I'm pissing in a lot of people's cornflakes right there because there's a lot of Dolphins fans that absolutely do not want this to happen. But keep that in mind. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, I think there's enough evidence to suggest that NFL teams do weird things and renege on agreements all the time.
Yeah, and Nick Caserio's past suggests that he's not one of those.
Yeah, I'm suggesting it could be on Miami's end this time.
Oh, it could. I could see that. I could see that.
I think that Miami could just say, you know what? You know, let's not do this. This could be a mistake. And quite honestly, it's looking like it would be a mistake because you could use those picks to put the right people around this quarterback and have them cheaper and have a team that's more ready to compete. And yeah. I'm not going to transition yet, but I would suggest that watching that game, it was like a siren was going off in my living room. Like, you got to get into the playoffs if you're this team. Win out. Get into the playoffs. There is nobody who's scary in this AFC. Nobody is.
I mean, we just saw the Bills lose to the 1924 Chicago Cardinals. I don't actually remember when the Chicago Cardinals were a thing. Seriously, that speaking of nobody's scary and the Patriots themselves, I mean, listen, if they were really such a monolith, then we would have seen Mac Jones throw some passes, a few more. I mean, he threw three in that game and rely on his arm a little bit. They went with even for short passes because the short passes I was saying to you in the OnlyFans chat. It's like, you know, I bet weirdly, even though he doesn't have the greatest arm, Tua would have been all right in that game. Because those short passes were working. Those short passes were working out, man. You know, throw a short, catchable ball, which Josh Allen, you know, part of the game he was not doing because he was not throwing catchable balls because I think he was so intimidated by the wind. He just, even on the short balls, like he felt like he really needed to cut it. And so it was coming in way too hot for the receivers. On the short balls. Well, Tua's not like that. He throws a catchable ball. And you could say, well, it was going to jerk around with the wind, but if it's a short throw, then it's not going to jerk around too much and the receivers can see it. I think you would have excelled in that in that environment. I know and realize that's like, you know, some people will just like scoff at that and be like, no, he's he's not that kind of quarterback, but I kind of had a feeling. And so Mac Jones could have, you would think he could have, but they didn't want him to at all. So anyway, that didn't look like an unbeatable Patriots team to me. And it certainly didn't look like an unbeatable Bills team to me. It looked like a weaker Bills team than what we faced both times we played them, you know, and we already beat the Patriots once, you know, so not surprised if it happens again at home. So yeah, you're right. That like this AFC, I mean, maybe the Chiefs are really coming on now, right?
Yeah, and but they're coming on for all the wrong reasons, in my opinion. They're coming on because their defense is playing lights out.
But doesn't that make them even worse? Like, I don't know. Yeah, something like
Mahomes.
Give Patrick Mahomes a defense and I'm supposed to be less scared?
Yeah, but you're giving Patrick Mahomes a defense, but is this Patrick Mahomes is the problem?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not looking good.
Yeah, you know? he's going through something.
Yeah, there's something. I'm not going to say there's something wrong with him. He's just not playing well.
And I think Brian Flores, I think he destroyed Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, that career's over. the Ravens would behoove the Ravens to keep their dollars, keep their free agents, maybe go after Deshaun Watson. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's a ridiculous statement on the face of it, but seriously, Brian Flores seemed to almost single-handedly start the snowball effect on Jared Goff.
And the NFL is relentless, Chris. They're relentless. They've just decided, okay, what did they do? All right, let's just go do that all game.
Yeah. I mean, I tweeted about it and people were like, I tweeted about it immediately, like comparing the situation to the Jared Goff and how, you know, entering that game, Miami had like zero chance of winning the game. Right. And so we're playing and Jared Goff, I think, he was well over 100 passer rating. I think to that point in the season, he was doing well. He had just come off the Super Bowl appearance where, admittedly, he shit the bed against Brian Flores's and Bill Belichick's defense. But that game, we attacked Jared Goff relentlessly, and it has not been right for him ever since. And I compared that after we did that to Lamar Jackson. I was like, this looked a lot like what we did to Jared Goff, and I wonder if Lamar Jackson is going to ever recover from this. And he still has not. I mean, I'm not saying he won't because he's a great player, but he still has not.
Well, he's decided to counter by throwing interceptions this time.
Oh, yeah. He's like, that's his counter move.
So against us, he was just ineffective and wasn't getting yards and moving the team. Now he's like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to throw interceptions to switch it up a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy how things like that go. I really don't think this is over for Lamar Jackson at all. I acknowledge that he's been a great player and he's probably still a great player, but it's just funny how that happens in the NFL. Like when somebody opens up a, you know, gaping wound and then, you know, that guy is still bleeding from the head for weeks after, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah. By the way, I have this app that that gives you a comparison of the kind of games that Mac Jones, well, not Mac Jones, but any quarterback, like you plug it in and you ask who's had similar games, right? Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, for the New England Patriots, I put in Mac Jones's game from last night, which was 2 for 3 for 19 yards. Mm-hmm. Right. And it comes out Brian Hoyer and Jared Stidham.
Really?
Which are two quarterbacks under New England. So I don't know when those two guys actually put up numbers like that, but evidently they have in their career.
You know what it reminded me of is I recall New England, and it was a couple of years back. It was back when Jacoby Brissett was still with New England, right? And I remember, like, he had to take over. I think this was when – I want to say this was when, like, Tom Brady was suspended. And so Jacoby Brissett had to take over for a game. And I want to say it might've even been against the Colts. I don't know. I think it was 2016.
Could it have been the Bills or something?
It was 2016. And I wanted to say it was against the Colts, but it was, I mean, he played against Miami or Well, no. Was it against Miami?
I don't believe so.
Did Tom Brady play in that game that year? I'm looking it up.
That year was against.
Okay. Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, Garoppolo came and like threw three touchdown passes against us right away, and then we never looked back. Even though Jacoby Brissett had to come in the game because we injured him. No, it was against Houston, and they won 27-0. And Jacoby Brissett only threw like 19 passes in the game, but he ran the ball a lot. And what I recall in that game was just kind of a lopsided split. They ran the ball. What is this? This is 32, 38, 39. They ran the ball 39 times and they passed the ball 19 times. So looking at how they passed the ball too with Jacoby Brissett, like they didn't really trust him to do much of anything. So he ended up the game 11 of 19 for 103 yards. And that's it. And then otherwise they ran the ball 39 times. And that's what this game reminded me of, except it had to be even more extreme because the gusts were just ridiculous. The wind gusts were just absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, we talked about that game more than we talked about the Miami game. Okay, so back to the Giants game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, let's get back to that one before we touch on this one a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to touch on the Bills Patriots games anymore.
There's one thing I do want to touch on in that game. Okay. Yeah. There's one thing I do want to touch in that game. But back to the Giants and the Dolphins. In that game, we kind of covered the offense. The running game is non-existent. Although the Giants, there's some evidence to suggest the Giants are playing good defense as of late.
Yes, particularly pass defense.
Yes. But on the other side of the ball, Jalen Phillips, two more sacks. Those totals are getting up there. In this one, he had one very impressive play. And the next one, he just uncovered on a coverage sack and got the sack. He also missed his third sack by going for another kill shot, which evidently might have injured Mike Glennon, because Glennon got a concussion. If you watch the play again,
yeah,
Phillips is the one who actually hits him in the head.
And after the game, they definitely, after the game, they diagnosed him with concussion symptoms, and they put him on the, or whatever. I don't know if it's a reserve list or not, but yeah.
Xavien Howard and Javon protocol. Holland allowed nothing in their area all day. Mm-hmm. Zero catches, two targets, a PBU and an interception. That's pretty good stuff. First of all, your thoughts on Jalen Phillips, where he's coming along and how they're using him, and you know what it means going forward, because I think they have some decisions to make in the offseason.
With his size and his body, it's not surprising to me. And I actually would have thought they'd have been doing it a little bit even before now. Mm-hmm. But with his size and his body, it's really not surprising to me that they move him inside some and have him pass rush there, and he does well with it.
Yep.
Because you know he should be able to. He's got great size, but I think he had been a guy that throughout the season was kind of inconsistent. Like he'd have a game where like against the Colts where he had, you know, half a dozen pressures on the quarterback. And then, you know, another game like against Houston where he really dominated that game. And then of course, Carolina, we saw what he did there. It was sort of dotted in between a bunch of mediocre or even maybe even a little bit worse than mediocre performances in pass rush. He's strung together two good weeks. And if you look at it, it's not just two good weeks, because, you know, the Houston game where he dominated was not that long ago either. So he's strung together some pretty good games. And you're like, okay, instead of this is just like he's having a good game here and there against a really challenged, you know, offensive lineman or something like that, you know, maybe he's actually getting better as the season wears on. And that's kind of where I'm at with him now is, okay, there's some evidence now that this isn't just, you know, you faced a bad offensive lineman here and there. you're actually starting to do this a little bit more consistently, and I'm here for it. You know, I mean, he's having his snap counts. I do notice that, you know, the last two games have been his best games, and they're also some of his lowest snap counts on the year. And so like I think they've sort of dialed down his, how many packages that he's part of, and it's working out for him.
Yeah. By the way, and I guess we could end that right here, but we're going to talk a little bit about this Buffalo Bills, New England game. Two things. Eli Manning last night was on his game because Peyton would not stop with, why aren't they letting Mac Jones throw a smoke route? He was like wondering, you could throw a smoke route. You could throw this. You could throw the other thing. I'm pretty sure he could throw it 5 yards. Mm-hmm. And Eli did the leave Mac Jones alone thing. And it just made me feel like that's the entire national media was speaking through Eli Manning. You know what I'm talking about, right? The leave Britney alone meme.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That's what Eli Manning did last night. But my faith is starting to grow on QBR because they released their QBR number for Mac Jones. And it's the worst QBR number of the entire season. 4.3.
Oh, for the game?
Yes.
Yeah, because like they didn't. Yeah, it should be like they didn't. Well, he didn't really do it. He was a passenger.
Yeah, but he completed 66.7% of his passes.
He was a passenger. He did 2 out of 3. and the one that he completed, the 12-yarder, like that was way
that could have been a disaster.
That could have even been a touch or an interception. I mean, that was like you're allowed to throw one pass and you throw it so far over the guy's head that it could have been an interception. Like it's lucky that Jonnu Smith like bounced it up and then he managed to, you know, come down with his own that way. But yeah, I mean, there's no way that should have been. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Mac Jones. It was ridiculous conditions. Right.
Yes.
You know, I thought that Brian Flores had to be looking at that game plan and like salivating, like, oh, we can do this.
You know? No, we can't. We don't have the backs or the
no, we don't. But I mean, like, you know, he had to be thinking about it. He had to be like, you could see the gears turning.
But I could see a game plan where we do it some, you know, but, you know, a little creatively, like Tua goes 41 of 46 for 250 yards. You know,
don't say that. They're just going to drive more people crazy, and then we're going to get more defensive players that are saying that Tua has no talent whatsoever.
Yes. Although, you know, Keyshawn Johnson, you know, Keyshawn Johnson has.
I didn't even bother listening to him.
Yeah, Keyshawn Johnson is now the king of the mountain. Like, it's been a competition all year. Chris Sims has had his moments, but he's also walked some of it back. Even Florio has walked some of his criticism back, and he's starting to say, like, you know, and I was listening to him on Sunday night, and I couldn't believe my ears. Florio was like, you know, the Dolphins really got to start stepping back and thinking, maybe we have our guy, you know what I mean? And we don't have to revisit Deshaun Watson. So, you know, well, those guys walked it back. Keyshawn Johnson.
The difference is I've never listened to Keyshawn Johnson. Like,
and neither ever. Have I, but I can't help but everybody keeps sending it to me, like, because they know it riles me up. But I don't even pay attention to it. But Keyshawn Johnson is flat out saying he blows. He will be a backup inside of 2 years. Inside of 2 years, in fact. So, yeah, congratulations, Keyshawn. You're the biggest idiot in all of sports media now.
Well, I tweeted this, and this is speaking of, you know, his career, you know, to his career. Like, what are we actually looking at here? You know, I tweeted what he is, and I'll try and recall or remember what I was tweeting about. But you know, if you look at his fourth quarter statistics, right? His fourth quarter statistics, he has. I mean, this is going back to 1994, so three decades of data here. He is number one in touchdown percentage, right? Out of you know, 240 quarterbacks that qualify over the last three decades, he's number one in touchdown percentage in the fourth quarter, right? He's definitely number one in completion percentage, and that's not even close. Like that's he's like over 8 points better than anybody else in completion percentage. Like he's 76.3% completion in the fourth quarter in his career. We're talking about rookie year and this year. So number one in that as well. He is number one in first down rate. Number that that one actually, you know, even because that's an impressive stat. Like that that one even surprised me a little bit. I mean, it shouldn't have surprised, but it did. You know, if you add up his passing first downs and his rushing first downs, and then you just simply divide it by, you know, his attempts and sacks and runs, and consider he's a winning quarterback too, so he's taking quite a bit of victory formation kneel downs in those runs. But yeah, anyway, like he's number one in his first down percentage. It's crazy. I accidentally tweeted that he was sixth. That was a mistake. No, he's number one. And he's number two in passer rating, fourth quarter passer rating all time, the last 3 decades. You know who number one is, though?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's Deshaun Watson.
That's it. Yeah,
yeah, it's Deshaun,
well, Deshaun Watson is good, you know.
He's, I mean, it's good. There's no, there's yeah, we've established that, but still, like, I get that every now and then on Twitter. Like, when I say that he's like number two in passer rating, fourth quarter passer rating for the last 3 decades, they're like, yeah, but who's number one? And I don't want to say like, it's Deshaun Watson,
yeah,
yeah. But yeah, he's number one in touchdown rate, number one in first down rate. Number one in completion rate, number two in passer rating. I mean, this fourth quarter, like of the last 3 decades, he's like arguably the most efficient fourth quarter passer of the last 3 decades of NFL play. I mean, this is ridiculous, right? And then in the red zone, you know, I decided to look at his red zone stuff too, because he's pretty good there. And yeah, his touchdown percentage in the red zone. In the red zone, not the fourth quarter, any quarter, right, is number three of the last 3 decades. Number three. That's Jesus, you know? And yeah. Like another thing that he doesn't do, and this shows up both in the fourth quarter split as well as the red zone split, is we know, like, even though he has a terrible offensive line, this dude doesn't take sacks very often, right? And mm-hmm. and so he's number two in sack rate in the red zone. Of the last 3 decades, like he just doesn't take sack. And you know, taking a red zone sack, you're not getting a touchdown anymore, and now you're making the field goal harder. So, but yeah, he's number two of all time, and that. I mean, he's putting together a really impressive clutch, you know, split. And if this is what he is, if this is this could be an anomaly, who knows? But if this is what he is, then he's going to have a phenomenal career. Absolutely. If that is what he is, then he is going to have a phenomenal career, because his other stuff is just going to get better. I think we should all be able to safely acknowledge that he's still a young player. He's learning, like he's still learning the language of the NFL and offense and defense. And so that stuff is going to get better. But if that's what he is in the fourth quarter, and I can't necessarily explain why, but like if that's what he is, then he's going to have a phenomenal career. And we should be able to acknowledge that probability at this point. Like there's some people, you know, they're still like, no, he sucks. He's a backup, whatever. But I think we should be able to acknowledge that he's going to have a pretty good career if this is what he is.
Absolutely. And not only that, but you know, there's another metric I like, which is called the warm and fuzzy metric. And if you're in a close game in the fourth quarter, do you feel warm and fuzzy? Or do you have the bubble guts?
All right. It's the Dolphins though. So we always have the bubble guts.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. I trust this. I trust his defense and I trust Tua. Okay.
Yeah.
In fact, I turn over the whole offense to Tua, have him draft guys for the offensive line and sign, you know, give him the cap dollars to sign tackles. In fact, I might even have him call the plays next year. Okay.
Well, you know how many points they score in Tua's games where he's played the fourth quarter. He's played the fourth quarter 15 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't quite been a 16 game season, but it's 15 times. They score 9.2 points per fourth quarter in those 15 games, right? That was 138 points total they've scored in the fourth quarter. That equates to a 37 point per game offense. Like, that's the kind of offense that Tua specifically, when he's in the fourth quarter, when he plays, that's the kind of offense that they have in the fourth quarter. And it's not just, and what's crazy is it's not just the scoring either, because you could be like, oh, you know, Xavier Howard had that interception return touchdown. You know, maybe that's screwing things up. It's not just scoring, because think about like how they ran out the clock against the New England Patriots in week one and ended the game in victory formation. You know, that was as good as any scoring drive in the fourth quarter that you're ever going to see. Right. The way that they came up off their own, you know, 5 yard line or whatever, and bled out, you know, 3 minutes and 30 seconds. So that, because a field goal would have won it for the Patriots. So,
yep.
You know, that was as good. And they've shown a tendency to do that. They've shown a tendency to bleed off the clock. I mean, I go through games this year where they possessed it 10, 11 out of the 15 minutes of the fourth quarter. You know, the other team didn't even have a shot at coming back because of that. I mean, yeah, they might have only kicked 2 field goals in the fourth quarter and, you know, might not be that impressive from a point scoring standpoint or whatever, but they bled off 11 minutes while doing it.
Yeah.
And that's the, like, so it's not even just about the points. It's about the totality of their offense in the fourth quarter is surprisingly good. Under Tua Tagovailoa as the quarterback. And so, you know, we've all been in those games where you're like, hey, we're dominating this game, but how come we're only up like 13-7? You know? Mm-hmm. Well, any team that gets into it like that with us, and they're like, you know, we're better than these guys, we're dominating, but, you know, we missed a few opportunities and that's why it's only 13-7. They get in the fourth quarter against us and they're going to find out something. They're going to find out something. I mean, yeah. They fuck around, they find out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of offense we have in the fourth quarter. And it's mind-boggling to think that, because otherwise the offense is so goddamn anemic.
Yeah. And wait till you get him a running back and a running game.
Well, yeah. Offensive linemen who can, you see, specifically you watch what they're doing, because they've gone cartoon level with the game plan, like the quick game. I mean, it really is like, there's a reason people are like turned off by it and stuff. I mean, we're in experimental territory, I think, with the quick game. I mean, there's been quick game was not just invented, but with how much they're doing and how consistently they're doing. What I'm curious about, what happens when we get some tackles where, because they still want to call every now and then, like particularly, I think, on second down.
Yeah.
They still want to call every now and then a little bit of a later developing route. You know, deeper, later.
Yeah, they try to use shorter passes to set up intermediate passes, and then they use intermediate passes to set up deep passes.
Yeah, and so what happens when we get the tackles that can actually hold up? When they do that on second down in a few of those situations, because these guys pop wide open on some of those intermediate routes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what happens when you get an offensive line that can do that, that can hold out for that long? Cause I think Tua is just going to deliver the ball accurately, like he always does. And it might really open up the offense just that much more, because this quick game is driving defenses nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been fun to watch, you know, but you kind of see the possibilities of where they can go, you know, from there. And we'll see, I guess, in a couple of weeks when they play the Jets. We will have one show next week, which will be previewing the Jets. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we'll do one on Monday or not. We'll figure it out. We'll play it by ear. But this is the only show for this week. But so we'll end with this. What's wrong with Josh Allen? You're responsible for him for the rest of his career.
I'm responsible for he and Patrick Mahomes, because he's playing like shit too at times.
Yeah, Mahomes is not playing like shit. He's just not playing good. Like, he's playing Tannehill-esque, okay?
Tannehill-esque.
Which is,
I mean, I've seen him play like this at at Texas Tech, you know, and it's you can tell when he's got,
look, he was flat out bad against Denver, and maybe we got to give credit to Vic Fangio.
Oh, right.
Because he tends to do that to a lot of quarterbacks. But what the hell was Pat? I guess, you know, we'll get off of Josh Allen for a second. What the hell is Patrick Mahomes doing throwing sidearm when he doesn't need to? Like he had this is what he did at Texas Tech.
You know, you can tell when he's lost the faith in his protection and he's lost the faith in the guys around him. Like he did this at Texas Tech. It was why he went, what did he go, 13th or something like that overall? He went 10th overall, sorry. Instead of going number one overall, which is how he should have gone. Because Texas Tech had no offensive line whatsoever. And they also had the wide splits and everything and, you know, all the air raid crap. And so he had no pocket, no reason to have any faith whatsoever in the protection. And so he did everything himself on the move. Like everything's going to be playground ball. Everything's going to be because I'm awesome.
Yeah.
And he's been playing like that since he was a kid. So, so he's, you know, and he does have awesome talent. So he believes in himself. You can see the switch flip. Like I can see it. I can watch him play and I'm like, yep, that switch is flipped. And he has lost faith. Going back to last year, he's lost faith in the protection around him. And I don't think he's gotten it back yet. And so I know that there are some talented offensive linemen in front of him, but he still doesn't have that faith yet. And
Chris Collinsworth called our favorite Creed Humphrey. So we are going to take credit for him.
Yeah. We'll take credit.
All of us mocked him.
And we'll answer for him too, because like one year he's going to be like absolute shit and everybody's going to be like, hey, what about your boy now?
Yeah. And by the way, Creed Humphrey does look like you, if you like gained like about 100 pounds. And took off your glasses. Have you noticed that?
Have I noticed that Creed Humphrey looks like me?
Yes.
I have not.
Okay. Look at yeah, but remember, you got to add on 100 pounds to yourself and take off your glasses. And, okay, so it's a little different. All right, but yeah,
This is turning into a Twitter poll. Like I could see this. Like this okay, is, but this is
Chris Collinsworth called him the best center in football, and then he proceeded to just put on a highlight reel of spectacular center play. But that offensive line is not all that great in Kansas City, Creed Humphrey aside. But back to Josh Allen. Good God, come on, man. The last two plays of the game, you saw it. Game is on the line. Jerk route with Diggs wide the fuck open on 3rd and 14. Josh Allen stares at him, doesn't throw the football. Then on the last play, it's a zero blitz, and good God does – Beasley pop wide open toward the end zone. He throws to Gabriel Davis on the backside.
Because he'd already gone there and it was similar to another concept that they'd done earlier in the game. He just got stuck on it.
But come on, man. First of all, you got to look at Diggs there on that third down. It's Stephon Diggs. Like, there's a reason you're paying him. Okay. There's a reason he's one of the best wide receivers in football. He just popped completely wide open on that jerk route. Come on. Worst case scenario, he's getting the first down inside the 3-yard line. Okay. And that's pretty much going to ice the game. But man, he missed both throws. Today, they're all over the media, by the way. The Bills saying that they blew the game and don't give the Bill Belichick any credit. At least that's what Sean McDermott said.
Well, because McDermott has a thing about Belichick. Like that's what's going on here.
But I would say this. Sean, if I may call you Sean, Mr. McDermott, okay?
Mr. McDermott.
Okay. Coach. Sean, it took you 3 quarters to figure out to send Matt Milano in the A-gap consistently to stop their slant runs, okay? Yeah. They're running slant runs, they're running leads, and they're running power, okay?
They ran traps. Yeah, they ran traps, like, then,
And crack tosses. They're running, like, 3 plays consistently.
Yeah.
Okay, it took you 3 quarters to figure out, oh, Matt Milano shouldn't scrape and get squashed by a 340-pound lineman. He should just run in there, right? Like, what do we need him guarding anything behind him, right? Like, what do you
maybe
need
it him- took him 3 quarters to actually believe that this motherfucker is not going to call a single pass.
Yes. I kept waiting. I'm like, they're going to call a pass here, and it's going to be – and the media's going
to – And I bet Sean McDermott was too, like –
Yes, I kept thinking to myself, they're gonna call a pass here. Mac Jones is gonna hit it for like 25 yards and everybody's going to cream themselves. Okay. But it never came. It never happened. Like it never actually happened. So I don't know. Sean McDermott maybe should look in the mirror, but are we witnessing regression? Was last year a fluke? What's going on with Josh Allen? This is not good. Let's face it. He hasn't played that well against us. Our offense plays good in those first two games. Who knows? Yeah. We at least split against them.
Well, I thought he played good. He played well. I mean, he played all right in the first game, I think.
No, he had two turnovers, one rushing touchdown.
But I mean, 130 yards. It's the whole game. It's not part of the game, right? You know, and I mean, he had a challenging first part of the game, but he finished the fuck out of that game, didn't he?
The second game, not the first one. I thought the first one he was just poor all around.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Well, we could look at it.
A little hazy. I mean, yeah, I just thought that he really turned it on, hit some big passes, and you know, he had a couple touchdowns. But anyway, is he regressing this year? I mean, I don't know. You have an MVP year; it's always kind of fluky. You know, like you know, it's hard to just, you know, keep having MVP years. I don't think he's having a bad year. Do you? I mean, would you say he's having a bad year?
It's just not.
Of course, it's not his standard. He was a fucking MVP last year, but I mean, like, or almost even very, very close to it. But I mean, he's what? He's got a 98 passer rating. He's got how many touchdowns total? Because he's got a bunch of rushing touchdowns too. So he's got like 29 touchdowns in 12 games.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, he's good.
It's not bad, right? You know,
yeah,
in the 12 games, for as much as he runs around, in the 12 games, he's only been sacked 19 times.
Maybe I'm just salty that he needed to win that goddamn game last night, Chris.
I wanted him to win that game so bad last night.
Like, that game was his. It was his. That was also a very poor play. On the previous trip to the end zone, you got first and goal at the 6-yard line, and he takes that loss on that sack. Like, that's just a poor play. Throw that thing into the all you had to do was just throw it up in the air, and the wind was going to take it into the stands anyway. So
that drives all of us insane. Like, every time we see it, and quarterbacks do it like with fair frequency. And I think it's one of the things that drive us all insane, that we're just, because we can't imagine ourselves there. You know, we don't know what that's really like. Let's be honest.
I'm beginning to lose my faith in QBR once again, because QBR is telling me that Tua Tagovailoa has had a better year than Josh Allen this season.
Well, it's because QBR puts a lot more emphasis on the fourth quarter.
Oh, okay. I guess that must be it.
You know, that they're very, like, they, you know, fashioned it talking to a lot of quarterbacks and stuff like that, like, you know, to really try and, you know, when do things matter? You know, third downs matter and fourth quarter matters and stuff like that. And they're, I mean, not that Josh Allen has had a bad fourth quarter, I guess, but I don't know. I think it has something to do with that. I think it has something to do with, like, those moments when Tua Tagovailoa, you know, whether it's fourth quarter comebacks or go ahead touchdowns and stuff like that. Seems very situational anyway, the QBR stat.
So, final question. Is the division wide open going forward without the Jets? Because, you know, the Jets are the Jets.
Well, but the Patriots would have something to say about that, right? And they've rattled off how many wins. They're now 9-4.
Are we refocused now on the Patriots? Or is it still the Bills? Yes. Or is it wide
100%,
open?
100%. 100%. We're back to, you know, water is wet again. The compass points north.
And, well, that makes me feel really, really good. You know that, right?
Well, because you don't think they're beatable without Tom Brady.
Yes.
Or you don't.
I don't think
they're unbeatable without Tom Brady.
I like our quarterback better than theirs.
That could be. I like their.
By the way, you talked about Josh Allen in the fourth quarters. Good God, he's. I don't know. Like, you said Tua was great in the fourth quarter. Where does Josh Allen rank? Because this is insane numbers.
Like, oh, yeah, he's got like a good 114 passer rating or something like that. But
103.5, but his touchdowns are ridiculous.
I think the fourth quarter thing, I'm just saying, like, it's not just fourth quarter broadly. I think it's more situational than that. But I do think that could be why, the situational stuff.
Well, that makes me feel warm and fuzzy if we're not chasing Buffalo anymore.
It's not that we're not. I mean, they're a really good team, and they're built well. They have a really good defense, and they beat us all the fucking time. So, you know, we have to focus on them because we can't beat them at all, it seems like. But I do think New England has reclaimed it. I mean, I will take, you know, I'll take our quarterback over theirs, but I'll take their team building over ours.
Yeah. Well, their offensive line and running game, and, you know, that's half an offense.
Yeah,
there's no comparison whatsoever.
And they consistently, I mean, they're always going to be able to staff their defense.
Yeah. Like, right? they'll find players. And you got to admire, you know, very rarely do teams go out there, spend a pile of money on a defensive player and they hit bingo. Matt Judon, bingo.
Well, he's good for what they do, and they know what to ask him to do. And and he does it. Like, they know better what to ask him to do than the Baltimore Ravens did. And I think that's what we're seeing. And also, I mean, so they can always build a defense, but they can run circles around us and building an offensive line.
Yep.
Well, we have no concept. It's not even a comparison. It's not even a comparison.
Yeah. We just have no concept.
Yeah. So they, you know, yeah, maybe some of us are going to be called like fan stands or whatever for saying this, but yeah, maybe we'd take Tua over Mac Jones. Other people would disagree. But I will take their team building over ours any day of the week.
Absolutely. All right. So maybe we're refocused. And I don't know if you're looking at the playoff chase, Kansas City is essentially us. Kansas City plays every single one of the teams that are in front of us. In order. Yeah. So
we, like, need them to shape up.
Yeah, Kansas City. Well, Kansas City's on a winning streak. I don't know if you've noticed, but I believe they have the same amount of games in a row as we have.
Yep, they do.
So they're on a roll. If Kansas City could just run right through the rest of the regular season, they're going to beat every single team that's in front of us, which is awesome. All right. But other than that, you know, Buffalo's in a precarious situation here. They're playing Tampa Bay next week, and then they play New England again in the revenge game, which they're all vowing today, by the way. They're going to kick the crap out of the Patriots. We'll see. Okay. But see. Yeah, it's shaping up, kind of asking for the Dolphins to win out, but we shall see in the coming weeks.
I mean, that's minimum. If Dolphins want to do anything, like have any hope, I think it would have been fair at 1-7 to say, you know, hope is over, it's done.
Yeah.
You know, if the Dolphins want to have any hope whatsoever, winning out is the bare minimum. That is winning out and then hope for some help.
Yeah. Like, and that's all it is. And I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I was trying to explain to them, one team wins a Super Bowl every single year. Two teams make the Super Bowl every year. You have 8 division champions, a bunch of teams make the playoffs. You know what's never happened in NFL history? Somebody to go from 1-7 to the playoffs. Dolphins had that opportunity. They do that, it'll be remembered forever, right?
Well, by us.
I don't know. The graphic will always be there. Okay. From 1-7 to the playoffs. That's
maybe. I think we gotta win. We gotta win a playoff game.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't won a playoff game since the Clinton administration.
Was it the George W. Bush?
No, he wasn't inaugurated yet.
Oh, he wasn't, really? Well, okay.
Yeah, still, that's the technicality. He wasn't inaugurated yet.
Okay, that's.
But yeah.
So, yeah, we got to change that. Yeah,
we got to change that.
Yeah. So, all right, that's it. There is no more. There will be no other show this week. We give you an hour, okay? So relax, people. Next week is the Jets. So evidently we will have a preview of Dolphins Jets next week. But till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean,
or your usual podcast provider.